So he says, I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So if you were here in the first service, you're not going to hear what you heard the first service. During praise and worship, I really believe the Lord spoke to me to share a message with you that I've never preached before. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 33, verse 12. If you don't have it, it'll be on the screen for you. It's always good to travel around. I thank God for our veterans. Any veterans in the room, raise your hand. You're a veteran. Let them know how much you appreciate them. Thank you for your service. And I like the law enforcement officers in the church. Mr. Baxter, he's well known there in Frankfort. I always ask for him every time I go up there to see if he's on duty while I'm up there. And I go up there a lot. I've had preachers preach against me going to Frankfort. And I'm appalled at that. I go up there and pray. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? So, I'm not running for office. I'm not running from the law. I used to. I don't have to do that anymore. But I thank God for our nation this morning. I thank God for those who serve in law enforcement. I just came back from the northern New England section of America. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. I landed in Boston. And I had six states that I had not been to in the Northeast, so I started in Massachusetts, went to Rhode Island, went to Connecticut, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. And so I always try to highlight, I try to make everything a memory. I've just done that. Kathy and I have traveled all over America, and I've been to Europe and South America, and I love travel. I've only got two states left. That would be Oregon and Washington in the lower 48. And then I'm flying Kathy to Hawaii. She's been waiting on them to build a bridge because she don't like to fly. But I don't think they're going to build a bridge to Hawaii. So I'll just do a Mr. T on her or something and get her open. You don't even know who Mr. T is. I'm sorry. Some of you aren't old enough to remember that name. But I won't knock her out. I promise you that. I'll just... But while I was on this journey, in fact, I think that finished up six men's conferences that I've done since November. Since deer season ended in Kentucky and Ohio, I've been at six different men's conferences, and every one of them had the theme, man up. And I think it's time men man up in America. Be the men of God that He's called you to be. And I don't know if it's because I hunt and fish and I like killing things and catching things, but somehow I've got this, as the overseer, I've got this persona that I'm an outdoorsman, and I am. I love to hunt fish, fly fish. I do all kinds of things. In fact, I got good hunting friends in this room this morning. Donald and Sierra and Corey, if he's here. And I thank God for my friends. And I think God places people in my life so that my dreams can be fulfilled. And I mean that. So God placed me to go up and do a men's conference. And, you know, I'm on this journey. I thought about fly fishing in Vermont, but the water wasn't right, so that didn't happen. And I went to Plymouth Rock. And little did I know that I would encounter God at Plymouth Rock, but I did. I don't know if they still teach American history in our school systems. I hope that they do. I really wish I would have paid more attention when I was in school. In fact, they passed me so they wouldn't have to see my ugly face the next year. And I was just an ornery kid. I was a preacher's kid. I was so mean because I played with everybody else's kids in the church. That's what I always said. But going to Plymouth Rock was a divine appointment for me. I believe that. I hadn't felt like that. I've been to Worms. I've been to Germany. So I've been to Worms where Martin Luther nailed his thesis on the church door. and warms. Out back of that is the statues of the apologists and Martin Luther and Zwingli and Huss and Melanchthon and men who, a lot of them were burned at the stake because they started a revolution called the Protestant movement, where the just shall live by faith. And don't you thank God for those people who gave their life so that the truth could be preached in the world? Well, let me read scripture, then I'll share the story, and I will try to close. It's 11:54, so you need to put me a time up there. I see 11:55. All right. That way I'll know. What time do y'all usually get out? Somebody needs to put a timer on me, because I don't preach everlasting gospel, but, you know, I don't want you to starve this afternoon. I just want to share my heart. Sometimes that takes a while. Psalms 33:12-20 says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." So that tells me that no matter what man has in his heart or what he has to do or what his plans are, that only God's perfect will and what God desires is going to work. Do you hear me? I believe that. I believe God is sovereign. I was raised Baptist. I believe God is sovereign. I believe we're in this room this morning at this appointed time because the sovereign Lord predestined that you would be here today to hear the word of the Lord spoke. I believe that. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Isn't that powerful? "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host." That's an army. "A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in you." Would you give God praise for his word this morning? You may be seated. God bless you. 404 years ago, on November the 21st in 1620, there was about 100 people that landed at Plymouth Rock in the Mayflower. Anybody remember that from school? Now, we celebrate Thanksgiving in November at that time. Of course, I think the Native Americans call that Thanksgiving. They sort of don't celebrate with us as we celebrate. But that's when America began to be settled, but they were not settled by settlers. They were settled by people that called themselves pilgrims. In fact, before they came off of that boat, they were out there almost 2 weeks, and they developed what is called the Mayflower Compact. And I'm not going to go into all that history, but you need to. If you don't know that story, you should look it up, because I had to go reread it just so that I wouldn't miss anything, because standing there at Plymouth Rock, of course, they've moved the rock from where it actually was there at the end of Cape Cod, and now it's on just a little corner inside of the bay there at Cape Cod. And there is this rock, and they call it Plymouth Rock. And that's where the pilgrims landed when they came to America. And as I stood there and I looked at this rock, and you can see it's cracked, and they moved it. And when they cracked it, when they moved it, it came off the wagon, and it cracked, and they had to put it back together. But that's actually Plymouth Rock. That's what Plymouth Rock looks like. And as I was standing there with David White went with me, as I was standing there with David, I was overwhelmed by the presence of God. That over 400 years ago, 41 people signed the Mayflower Compact. There was 100 people on the boat, but still yet only 41 of them signed. 60 of them were like a lot of Americans today. It's about where we are as far as Christendom is, about 60-40. They signed the Mayflower Compact because they believed that God had brought them to America to free them from the tyranny of those who oppressed them. And listen, they didn't come here just to worship any god they wanted to. I don't care what Congress says. I don't care what the senators say and what the woke crowd has to say about our nation. Our nation was founded by Puritan people. They read a Puritan Geneva Bible, and that is where we came from. That is our roots. And I'm here to tell you right now, we can never forget where we've came from. We can only hope that we will return back to the God of our forefathers. I went to Boston later that night. And out there on the, at the gardens, the Boston Gardens, it's beautiful. I was reminded that where the revolution began, there's a church house. When we started the revolution, United States of America, to get free from Britain and the tyranny of those who were over us, the church house became the only safe meeting place in the United States. They were meeting in public, and then they were killing them because they were meeting in public. So they started going to the church house, and right there in Boston, in downtown Boston, one of the most woke cities of our nation, in the church house is where we gained our freedom from. That's where it started. America is in denial of its own history. I mean, for people to stand in the streets and say death to Israel, death to our nation, it's a disgrace to this nation. And I feel like if anybody feels that way, they don't even deserve to live in this nation. And I'm preaching better than all you all, amen, and right now. You and I, as God's people, all we have to do for evil to persist in this nation is do nothing. I don't know about you, God didn't call me to be a pacifist. God called me to be an activist, someone who stands for Him. I stand for God, and I stand for our nation, because God is the God of our nation. When our nation was attacked on September the 11th, let me tell you, one of the saddest days was September the 12th, when George Bush allowed Wiccans, he allowed the occult, he allowed Islamic, he allowed every religion in the nation to come and speak to our nation. Our nation wasn't founded on those other gods. Our nation was founded on Jehovah Jireh, the God who sits alone as God. I'm sorry, but when you breathe the breath of Puritan people who gave their life for us to be here today, it changes the way you feel and think. So my brother Tim, I love history. I'm a historian. So I just happened to call him. Now, I'm going to get to the point. I just happened to call him on my way into Plymouth, and he said, Tony, he said, while you're there, you need to go to the statue of our forefathers. Has anybody in this room ever been there, to Plymouth Rock or the statue of our forefathers? Have you ever heard of it? I had never really even heard of it. This is the statue of our forefathers. It stands 86 feet tall. It is the largest granite monument in the world. And it's there at Plymouth. So I thought I had a spiritual experience when I went down to Plymouth Rock. And there I told David, I said, David, we got to pray. Because God released hope back into me. Because I've been very concerned. I have 4 granddaughters and 1 grandson.
And I don't want them to grow up in a woke world. I want them to grow up in a world that's been a great awakening in our nation, where everybody's going back to church, where people are living right, where we're worshiping God, and we're honoring our leaders. This monument is 180 tons of granite. It was formerly known as the Pilgrim Monument. It commemorates the Mayflower Pilgrims, and it honors their Christian ideals and values. The Matrix of Liberty, that's what this is called, the Matrix. You know, we know what the Matrix is. We've seen it, you know, Mr. Dunbar and all those people on TV, they made it famous as science, but this is a true matrix. Here's what they believed. This matrix of liberty combines those ideals of the values of faith, morality, law, education, and liberty that when adhered to creates a free society for the people and by the people. The monument was commissioned by the Pilgrim Society, built with public funding, and designed by Hamlet Billings. It is located on Allerton Street in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and was dedicated on August the 1st, 1889. The Forefathers' Matrix of Liberty is the only successful strategy of liberty ever carried out in the history of humankind. The Matrix of Liberty, when applied with, will produce Christian character, without which our founders felt certain there was no bias for a free and just nation. The front of the panel is subscribed as follows. National Monument to the Forefathers, erected by a grateful people in remembrance of their labors, sacrifices, and sufferings for the cause of civil and religious liberty. The right and the left panels contain the names of those who came over on the Mayflower. The rear panel consists of a quote, and this is what it says. And when I read this, I wept. Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by His hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light a thousand, so let the light here kindled have shone unto so many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all praise. Governor William Bradford, Plymouth Colony, 1600. I mean, isn't it hard to believe that just down the road is Washington, D.C.? And I've been there. When I was in Washington, D.C., I wept too. I didn't really encounter God at Washington, D.C. I was in all of the cherry blossoms. Kath and I had been there. We got to walk through D.C. We went over to the White House. Of course, they've got it all fenced up. You know, you can't go in there. You couldn't go in there then. You can't get in there now. Now they got the Capitol fenced up. Can't get in there. Can't go over there now. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose people serve the God who is the Lord. And see, we are in denial of our own history, and by denying our own beginnings, we have no moral compass to keep us headed in the right direction. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. You can't fall asleep while you're on guard duty. If you do, you will be dishonorably discharged, face a court-martial, and if you're in a war zone, they can put you before a firing squad. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. John Adams. Our forefathers believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They believed in the God of the Bible. And listen to me, if you go to law school, if we have any attorneys in this room, the law that we practice in the United States of America is Judeo-Christian law. And out of the principles of the Bible came the laws that we now have as a constitution and a leading law of government in our nation. And we have people that want to burn the Bible, burn the flag, burn the Christians. That's because the church has kept silent. And let me tell you what the world thinks about us when we keep silent. They think our silence is acceptance of their behavior. So we didn't want to offend people. We didn't want to offend the gay crowd. We didn't want to offend those in the LGBTQ plus community. And so we kept our mouth shut because we would be considered haters. You can't read the Word of God without understanding that God is a jealous God. And He set principles in order. And those principles are not to damn you to hell. They are to protect you and let you live a life that is free from sin. And we have governors and we have presidents. The president at his big gay rally the other day did the symbol of the Catholic cross. And they have stood against abortion, the Catholic Church has, from day one. But now we live at a time that speech like I just said will be outlawed if the woke generation that this world is living in right now persists and they go into Senate and Congress. You're not allowed to preach against homosexuality in Canada. It is forbidden. It is against the law. Our nation is soon to follow suit if God's people don't get on their knees, humble themselves and pray, and ask God to bring an awakening to this country. We've been preserved by the mighty hand of God to be where we are today, to have the freedom of religion, to be in this room this morning. But I'm here to tell you right now, it won't be long if there's not a change in our government that will not have those freedoms. I think one of the most appalling things to me is that we're in a conservative state. More Republicans in Senate and Congress here than any other state. But we elect a governor that believes it's all right for a 7-year-old to change their sex. And I don't know where the church was on election day, but evidently it wasn't at the voting polls. Well, he was present during catastrophe. And I knew that as a Pennsylvanian. I knew that it was going to be hard to beat him because he was present in times of crisis. And I appreciate that, but that's his job, and that's what we pay him to do. I think it's sad right now that right now in America, we're getting ready to have a presidential election. We got one guy that's in the court, and we got another guy that can't even find his way to the House. I mean, how in God's name did we ever get here? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I remember when Bill Clinton became president. Man, I'm telling you now, I thought he was the biggest liberal that I ever met. Right now, he would be considered an ultra-conservative, even in the Republican Party. And I was praying. It was during revival. And I was praying. You know what the Lord told me, Pastor Sean? He said the White House is a personification of the church house. He said, my people get what my people deserve. So as I stand as a man of God at Plymouth Rock, being filled with hope and inspiration, you know what God tells me? Start preaching! Faith comes by hearing the preached word of God. And the reason our nation is in the trouble it's in, it's not because the White House or the Senate or the Congress, it's because the men and women of God that lead people in our nation. If I get thrown in jail, bail me out. Oh, I'm here to tell you right now, you don't think people hate this kind of preaching? They despise it. When the Apostle Paul came to town, they didn't give him a key to the city. They threw him in the jail. And you know what's wrong with us? We have pussyfooted around and played church so long that the world don't even have respect for the church anymore. The lady on top, her name is called Faith. Down at the bottom of her name, or down at the bottom of where she stands, her foot is on Plymouth Rock. That little thing where her foot's out, that's Plymouth Rock. She's called faith. She has one finger pointed to heaven. In her left hand, she has the Geneva Bible. Let me tell you something. This nation wasn't built on philosophy of men. This nation was built on the principles and the foundation of Almighty God. And we must get back to living a life of faith. This virtuous figure standing 36 feet tall points toward heaven as if to say, trust in God. Why, her left hand clutches the Geneva Bible. She has a star on her forehead, which indicates honor and the importance of gaining knowledge through the Bible. We send our kids to Yale and Harvard. Let me tell you something. That's some of the most woke people in our world. Berkeley, that used to produce some of the greatest minds in this nation. Penn University, which was founded by Benjamin Franklin and George Whitefield. Not by secular people, but by men of God who believed in God. They took Whitefield's statue down during COVID when they started tearing all the other statues down. And guess what? They're coming for the church next. Yeah, you might as well get ready for it. They're coming for the church next because they're tired of Bible thumpers like me. Oh, yeah, I have a doctor's degree. I know theology very well. You can learn and study all you want to. What you need to have is a relationship with God. Trust only in Him because your education will not save you. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Here's what I know about faith. It preserves freedom. The monument's pedestal is octagonal with four larger seated figures representing the Christian values and principles made known by the pilgrims. Here's what I know about faith. If you want to be successful in life, success will not tolerate a lack of faith. You have to believe. Those who come to the Lord must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Listen to this. Success will not tolerate visionlessness, heartlessness. You've got to have a brave heart. I love that movie, Braveheart. Anybody ever seen that movie? In that movie, he said, I want to have a brave heart. I don't know about you. I want to be brave to stand before a wicked and adulterous generation and look them square in the eye and say, listen, hell is still a place that's real. It wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you go to hell, you're gone as an intruder. But if you don't accept Jesus Christ by faith, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what else success will not tolerate. And this is part of faith, this heartlessness, a lack of desire. I used to read constantly. Charles Finney, George Whitefield, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, David Brainerd, Leonard Ravenhill. Constant revival things, constant things of what these men did. And you know what? I admired to be like them. I inspired to be like them, to be a preacher of righteousness, to be a man of God, that when I preach, that sinners would grip the back of seats like they did when he preached his message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. A lot of our churches, people come to church and they don't even feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes a lot of churches is not any different than some social clubs. We go in, we pay our fees, we have a good time, we celebrate, and we go home. And the world goes to hell in a handbasket and we don't do anything about it. How long has it been since you witnessed to somebody where you work at? How long has it been since you walked into a convenience store when you was paying for your gas or buying a candy bar or a Coke and look at the person and say, can I ask you a question? Are you ready to meet God? Can I ask you a question? Are you prepared to meet God? Do you know that before the sun sets today, we could all leave here? Some of us will go to heaven, others will go to hell. People need to hear that because that... Oh, well, you know, people think you're crazy. We are crazy. We believe in a God we've never seen.
We believe he rose from the dead. Nobody's ever done that we're aware of. We don't know anybody that we've seen that's ever done that, but we have faith. And by faith, we believe in a God that we can't see, that a Savior rose from the ground. Say faith. The smaller figure shown in relief, that's what they call that around the bottom, represent the virtues and depictions of the pilgrims in their journey. The first is morality. Say morality. So standing in Massachusetts, even though they struck down Roe v. Wade, in Massachusetts, they went back and enacted the law that the liberal governor of Virginia did, not the one they have now, but the one prior to him, that they can, while a baby's being born, when its head comes out of the mother's womb, that they can stick a suction tube in the back of that baby's neck and destroy that baby and suck its brains out. Say morality. That's one of the most immoral things. And God, let me tell you what, God's going to hold America responsible for the blood of the millions of babies that's been aborted in this nation. Morality holds the Ten Commandments in her left hand and the scroll of the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, in her right hand. Depicted under the seat, and you see the two statues, I have them there. Under morality, do you see the words? I don't know if you can see them there or not. I don't have my glasses on. It's even hard for me to see them. But under morality, these two words is prophet and evangelist. Say prophet and evangelist. How long has it been since you heard a message that Jesus was getting ready to come back? Probably here you get to hear it. I know you're having people saved all the time because you preach and believe that the return of Christ is imminent. It's happening. It's getting ready to take place. The evangelist. What does an evangelist do? Evangelist doesn't revive the sinner. The evangelist comes and wakes the church up. Yes. Awake thou that sleepest. I don't know about you, but I can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go kill a tom. I can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive to go kill a white-tailed buck. I can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning if I'm going to go fly and take me a trip somewhere. But my God, sometimes it's hard to get my lazy hind end out of bed to get up and pray and read the Word of God when I'm not hunting or fishing. Say morality. So what an evangelist does, he comes around and reminds you, you're to read the Word of God and you're to pray every day. I said every day. Every day. Not one day a week, every day. If the only time you get the Word of God in you is when you come to the church house on Sunday morning, you're in pitiful shape. Next to morality is law. Law is holding a statute of the law, and that's the books of the law, the statutes of the law, and extends a hand of mercy. Law peers directly into the heart and the soul of an individual. And depicted under the seat of law are justice and mercy. When I think about the DOJ, the Department of Justice, when I think about, and listen to this, our president threatened the Supreme Court in his address to our nation. How disrespectful can you be? And you know what? I never heard one word spoken against his threat against the most powerful setting justices in the world. Because our nation, evidently, we don't care anymore. We're just used to people trashing people. We're used to people being disrespected. That's your pastor. That's the man of God. That's the man of God that God sent here to be your pastor. He's not just Sean. He's the man of God to lead you. God sent me here to be your bishop. God didn't send me here to be just a friend to you. He sent me here to be your leader, to be your pastor. And you know what we do? We make everything commonplace. But God's not a common God. God is a God of law, of mercy, and of justice. And justice demands that the penalty of sin be paid, and Jesus had to pay that debt for you. The next statue is called education. Say education. I thank God for education. I really do. But you can have 32 degrees and still be frozen. Yeah. And you can send a donkey to yell, and you know what you got when he comes out. Don't say it. Education points to the book of knowledge. Depicted under the seat of education, our mother is a mother and a child, symbolizing youth following experience and wisdom and maturity depicted by an elder person on the other side of that seat. So we're having General Assembly coming up. And so at the last General Assembly, there was a group. Listen, we're as bad as the Democrats and Republicans all thrown together. And so they said that we're going to elect younger men. We're going to elect novices to lead us. That sounds like, to me, it's a parable of the bramble in the Old Testament. You know, they sought for someone who would rule over them in the forest. The forest sought for someone to, all the beasts of the forest sought for someone to rule over them. But none of the trees would do it, even though they had the tall canopies. But you know what the bramble said? I'll rule over you. I'll rule over you. You can find cover under my shade. Anybody ever been in a briar thicket? You know what they call it? Rambling roses. They'll almost make a sanctified man cuss. The bramble said, I'll rule over you. And so now we have this thing, even in the church. Because I'm in my 60s, I don't have a brain anymore. Because I'm in my 60s, I don't know how to lead. Because, and I'm not just talking about me. I'm just saying, I'm not pointing this toward me. But I'm just saying, holy men of God who have paved the way in the Church of God as a denomination, younger people disrespect them, and they want to put people in office to serve on the executive committee that don't even know how to do my job. I don't want a boss that don't know what I know. Well, I'm preaching better than all you all amening right now. See, because we're Greek in our way of understanding, listen to this. You can train doctors and never do surgery or never practice medicine if you have a degree to train people. Well, I don't know. I remember when I got my master's degree, one of my good friends, he had a PhD, and he said, do you want me to call you master now that you have a master's degree? And you can just call me doc. I said, no. All master's degree did for me was teach me how to study, how to read, how to write, and how to be prepared. You hear me? It didn't make me any better than anybody else who didn't have an education. I thank God for my education. I thank God for my doctorate. I thank God for a great education. But I'm here to tell you, great education doesn't make me who I am. Think about the mother and the child on the one side of education. How many of you know that your tax dollars in Kentucky are being spent in the name of education? And you know what we'll do? We will contribute to the sin of gambling just so we can say we're going to help people get an education. How stupid is that? We're going to give you a bad vice so that we can educate your children. Hello? Where was the church when all this started happening? Very quiet. I mean, you got a casino right here. Actually, it's just down the road. I'm pointing in the wrong direction. It's just south of you, right before you get to the College of the Cumberlands on the right. Then there's an elder person, and how long has it been since you showed respect to your elders? Listen, where I come from, if I called my aunt or uncle by their first name, I had a meat sandwich, and it was my gums, because I'd get backslapped by my father. You don't call people by their first name. You call them aunt or uncle. You say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. I do like that about Kentucky. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's a lot right with that. Last but not least, come to the music. I'm going to talk about liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I have two sons, and I thank God they're both on full-time staff, serving in ministry. Paul comes, does worship for us sometimes at camp meeting, prayer conference. He's married to his lovely wife, Lauren. They have two of my granddaughters, our six-year-old, Cotton Lee, and our nine, almost 10-month-old, Callahan Rose. She's the only redheaded. Our son Nathan and his wife Mackenzie are on full-time staff for their father-in-law, Lee Claypool, who's from Kentucky. You know, Nathan's a Kentucky guy, you know. He loves UK. He bleeds blue. They have three grandchildren, of our other grandchildren, and they have Adeline, we call Ada, Amelia, and Alden, who I call Aldi. I call Callahan Red. That's what I call her. Come here, Red. She's got blue eyes that pierce right through you. I am not going to keep silent so that my grandchildren will know that there's a God that requires us to live right. I refuse. I have friends whose sons and daughters are living in a homosexual lifestyle. And I hear the agony and the pain and the sorrow. But I cannot say it's okay for them to live that way. And neither can you. Well, I love my children. I love my children too. But if they don't repent of their sins, they'll go to hell as sure as they were born. You hear me? For liberty to exist, vigilance and perseverance must be pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded again and again and again until it's forged from the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I must know the Word of God. I must live the Word of God. Because when I stand before God, He's not going to judge me by a constitution or a Bill of Rights. He's going to judge me by His words. And they're weighty words. Jesus said, "Don't think that I've come to send peace to you." Oh, we don't quote those scriptures. No, He said, "I come to send a sword. The father against the son. The mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law." I bet you some of you are living that right now. And some of you live it because of the name of God. Don't give up your liberty. Don't give up your freedom to live as a child of God in a holy lifestyle before a lost and dying world, because that's the only thing that can set them free. Stand with me. If you will look at liberty, it's really hard to see it. I've got a statue in the car. I bought this statue. I've got the replica of it in my car. But over the shoulder of liberty, if you look on his left shoulder, actually his right shoulder, left to you and me, that's a lion's paw. And there's a lion head, skin draped over him on his back. His sword is sheathed. And if you could see his hands, you can look this up online. If you can see his hands and his ankles, the chains around his wrists and ankles are broken, because he's been set free, like the young man that came and gave his testimony this morning.
I wish I could say that I never did drugs. But when I was in the Army, on the back of my deuce and a half truck, it said 714 on one side and Quaaludes on the other. I'm not proud of my past. I was bound in shekels. Kathy would tell me, honey, you would have went home with anybody. And I'd always look at her and say, ain't you? I'm glad I came home with you. Thank you for loving me through all the hell that I put you through. There was times I didn't even know straight up. But I'm not in chains anymore. And I thank God, I won't say how many years, because it makes her sound old, she said. So I won't say that, but I guarantee you it's 40 and north that me and this young lady's been married. And guess what? I don't have to worry about having a midlife crisis and marrying my high school sweetheart, because I married my high school sweetheart. Here's what I know about liberty. Liberty is poised to defend our liberties whenever necessary. You hear me? Liberty is always ready to strike when someone tries to take our freedoms away. Under the seat of liberty, there are two figures. One of them is tyranny overthrown. Tyranny overthrown. Guess what? They had a party in Boston called the Boston Tea Party. And it was over taxation without representation. And you live in a nation that taxes you to the gills. And you know what we say? Well, everybody's got to pay taxes and die. Well, our forefathers didn't think it was right for them to be unjustly taxed. And they threw what is called a party. They threw the tea. And listen, they loved tea. They came from England. They wanted tea every morning. They drank tea like me and you drank coffee. And they threw it in the harbor in protest. And thus became the Boston Tea Party. Of course, you know there in Boston, what's his name? John what? Revere. What did he say? The British are coming, said the Brit. That's where we came from. We left there because of tyranny. And we came to America for liberty. I don't even know if they say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore in school. Anybody know it? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to its republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible. He's undividable. You can't divide God up. With liberty and justice for all. Listen, school teachers, you got precious, precious cargo in your classrooms. They need to know there's a God that's real. They need to know heaven is sweet and hell's hot. Hello? We had daily prayer when I went to school, and they'd already outlawed it. I remember Sister Shively. Her son played for the Harlem Globetrotters. One of the only white boys that played basketball for the Harlem Globetrotters. She did the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, and she made us pray the Lord's Prayer every morning. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Oh, you can't do that anymore. Oh, yeah, you can. They can't stop a student from praying. You have freedom of religion. The last time I checked, you also have freedom of speech. But you know what? We just remain silent because we don't have to worry about being persecuted. We'll just keep our mouths shut. Don't be a coward.
I said, don't be a coward. If you want to keep your freedom and you want to keep your liberty, you better stand up for what's right. And I'm not talking about in a crowd like this where I know it's accepted. But I'm talking about down at Walmart. I'm talking about down on the street corner. How about at UK when they're playing basketball? Hello, what about at the football field? What about here at your new $9 million football field? Well, it may not be popular, but I guarantee you God loves it. I mean, how long's it been? I'll say this and I'm done. Oh, it's 12:39. I don't even have to look. Sorry. I waxed warm. So I used to love to listen to Lester Roloff. I don't know if you remember him or not. He was an old Baptist preacher. I love listening to that old man. He has a message, seven things that won't be in hell. I can preach six of them. The other one's on eternal security, so I don't preach that one. He said, I'm very seldom impressed with young ministers. This is what he said. I never will forget this. He said, but we went the other day. I'd been holding revival. We went to a restaurant. And he said, at the restaurant, I asked this young man if he would pray. And he said, I would be honored to. He said, he stood up on his chair. And he said, everybody in this restaurant, you need to keep silent because we're getting ready to pray. He said, that impressed me. Oh, no, we want to blend in. We want to be undercover Christians. We want the world to think the best of us because we've gone to the finest schools and we've got the finest education and we wear the finest clothes and we've got it together. When we're all simply sinners, saved by the grace of the living God. You hear me? If you're here in this house this morning and you don't know the Lord, you need to be man and woman enough to acknowledge that and come out of your seat and come up here and kneel at an altar of prayer and humble yourself before the God of gods, the only true and living God, Jehovah our Father. His Son, Jesus Christ, died on an old rugged cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven. And there's only one way that you're going to get to heaven and only one name's going to save you. I'm not going to lay my degrees down before God to get in the kingdom of heaven. The only thing he's going to see is the blood of Jesus that's been applied to this old sinner's heart. You hear me? That's what gets me into heaven. Father, I've given my heart. That's all I've had to give. I pray that you will touch people in this house today. God, we all struggle. Every one of us has our own unique struggles. God, today we just want to turn them to you. And Father, we just ask if there's one under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that today is the day that they give their heart to you. So here's what I'm going to ask. I don't know how you do all. I know you said I could do it however I wanted to. I'd like for everybody that would to just step out of your seat and come forward in the altar this morning. And I want us to pray together. Would you do that? Just step out of your seat. I'm not going to grease you up like a pig at the county fair or anything like that. But I want you to come and I want you to pray. I'm concerned about my grandbabies. I'm concerned about the world that they're going to be living in about 10 years. I'm not talking about 20. I'm talking 10 years, Pastor Sean. I do believe that the election, there's plenty of room in the front. Just come on up a little closer and let people come that will. We have a civic duty, not a Christian obligation. We have a civic duty to vote. We have a civic duty. I believe in being a good citizen. Being a good Christian, because I vote, that has nothing to do with me being a good Christian.
There's people that call themselves Christians that do all kinds of things, and it's not Christian. But you and I, as God's people, we just need to pray that God would help our nation. That God would help our state. I mean, I'm concerned about Kentucky. You hear me? I thank God for the conservative people that we have serving in Congress and Senate. Just press on forward. There's more people. Let's just press on forward. Do they want to come up to the altar? That God would touch our nation. That God would touch our state. Kentucky is an upper room. I stood before senators in Congress, the auditor, our new DOJ, and I told them, I said, let me tell you something. Kentucky is a bellwether state. What that means is what happens in Kentucky happens around the world and in this nation. And I said, whether you realize it or not, I got Pentecost on them. I said, you're an upper room state. There's 120 counties in this state. I have 48 counties that do not have a Church of God congregation in them in this state. I said, but we're an upper room state. I said, you know, the upper room is where the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost. I said, we should be a Pentecostal state. Now, I know there's some Baptists in that room. But little Allison Ball, anybody ever heard of her? I mean, that woman's a Holy Ghost-filled fireball. You hear me? There's some up-and-comers in this state that are Pentecostal, that are filled with the Spirit of God, that are not ashamed. We got good Baptist people there. We got Brother Hale that pastors our church in Korea. He's one of our congressmen. We got the brother from Tate's Creek. What's his name? Fugate. Yeah, Brother Fugate. Fugate. Now he said, Fugate's got money. We're Fugates. I said, okay. There's good Holy Ghost-filled men and women serving. But they need our prayers and they need our support. And it wouldn't hurt you to find out who your congressman is down here or your congress lady. And just let them know.